Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I gotta take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You gotta take in all those big aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
Should have never been a fad. The black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Hass. I'm Brad Chalewski.
Hey, what's up, Brad? I'm Nick White. How you doing?
We're back. It's been like decades.
It's been a long ass time, man. Maybe a good month. Something like that. Maybe even longer.
Yeah, we just both have a lot of conflicts lately, it seems.
Life happens. But, you know, it's good to get back on the horse, man, you know, and talk about stuff, because stuff should be talked about, Brad.
Right. There's a lot happening out there in the world. And Nick's got a lot to complain about from places he doesn't like. The internet must know.
Man, you know, we can't be these people who go places and be like, oh, it's so great. You know, we got to tell the people what happened.
Right.
We got to tell the people what really happened, because there's people that we know that are our age or in our bracket, age group, and they're going to be like, why the fuck did you tell us that?
Yeah.
And it wasn't true.
That's right. We're not being paid.
Okay. Also that.
Yeah. But then we're kicking things off with Half Acre Slow Melt.
Yeah.
And this is a seasonal release, right? Or is this a one-off?
I want to say this replaced something, right?
Oh, replaced something. So it's a full-time?
I think
so. Or like a full-time seasonal?
Full-time seasonal, man.
I don't remember, but this is a tasty beer. I think I've had it once at Half Acre, and now finally picking up some cans.
This is delicious stuff, man. It's subtle. There's hints of like this hoppy fruitiness. There's enough of bitterness to just kind of round everything out. But I just really love the body on it. Like it's not thin. It's just right.
Right. You know? It has like a almost like a hazy body. Right?
It's like a small hazy.
Like a mouthfeel of a hazy. Like, oh, it feels juicy.
It feels juicy without the lingering cloying effect, like the sweet or heavy fruited effect.
Yeah, that like lactose burn.
Yeah. It's only 5.8.
Okay. So it's pretty damn tasty. I'm liking it.
This is a good beer, man.
I also before we start recording, I basically crushed this hop water. This caffeinated sparkling hop water from Fair State in Minnesota, non-alcoholic infused sparkling water. It was pretty good, 50 milligrams of caffeine. I don't know, I was looking for something a little different than just a hop water or a sparkling water. And, I don't know, amp up, you know, not sleeping much, so.
Yeah. And then if you're like me, man, coffee... The same coffee in the morning that I have in the afternoon seems to not have the same effect. I need a different type of coffee altogether.
Okay.
If I'm iced and then hot, you know, one or the other. I can't do the same coffee morning and night. So anywhere to get the caffeine is welcomed.
Right. It's bright, zippy, and aromatic.
Zippy.
All right. But that's gone. And now we're on to beer. So up then down.
That's a fun word, man. Zippy.
All right. We got a lot of places. Nick, you have a big list, finally. I think on the last episode. You were going nowhere.
I did jack shit, yeah. I got around a little bit, man. You know, a couple places I went. Where do we start? Maybe we start with the Maplewood expansion.
Okay.
And kitchen grand opening.
Sounds good.
So Maplewood, one of the most beloved beer brands, if you will, in Chicago. People love Maplewood. I love Maplewood. We love the Maple Room. It's a lounge at the end of a residential block. All they have were these little toaster oven pizzas at the bar, and sometimes they do guest pop-ups. Mm-hmm. But they didn't have a kitchen.
They had slushies. You could eat slushies, fill up on slushies.
I mean, you know, but proper food. If you're getting hammered off the, you know, talk about Sick Hazy's. That's the land of Sick Hazy's, barrel-aged stouts, and fucking some fruited sours.
Yeah.
Right. They do execute those styles very well, you know. But you know, like, come out, take a peek at this new kitchen we're doing.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know. Twist my arm, I got to go to Maplewood in the middle of the day, right? You know, you get there, and they're super accommodating. But they tell me the weirdest story, man. They're like, so when you walk into the Maple Room, it's not very big, you know. To the left, there's a huge sign that says Maplewood on a like a brick wall.
Yeah.
So apparently behind that wall was a business, a catering business, not affiliated with the brewery, that was selling, doing their business out of Maplewood space. And then that business left.
Okay.
And that's how they had the space to build their own kitchen. So whatever equipment they were using for the catering company, they kicked that out, and then they brought in their own stuff. And that's where the kitchen is. That's where the food's coming from.
Okay.
But that's bizarre to me.
Right? Yeah. So now is the food there like full on food menu, like burgers and patty like melts and
American fare? I think it's being described as American fare and Eastern European comfort food. I'm not sure what that is.
Some pierogies and burgers.
That's what it sounds like. There's definitely a
slaw things.
There's also oysters. There's and deep fried corn dogs. First of all, I didn't know that was a thing. Deep fried corn dogs.
I'm not going to say, like, I haven't been there or I haven't tried the food, but Maplewood is not the place I would try oyster or have oysters at, and I probably wouldn't have them at a place that also has a corn dog.
What about a deep-fried corn dog? What are your thoughts on those?
Aren't all corn dogs deep-fried?
Oh, yeah, I guess you're right.
Isn't that a corn dog?
Is it? It's breaded, for sure.
Right, are a hot dog. It? Deep
frying it on a stick. Oh, yeah.
It's a corn dog.
That's just like saying assless chaps. All chaps.
Chaps are assless.
All chaps are assless, right? Like you can't assless chaps is redundant. Clearly I haven't had enough corn dogs. You're right.
Corn dogs are great.
I mean they're good. When I was a kid, I used to fuck them up. It's just been a while.
I'm just not gonna have oysters at the same place that has corn dog.
Oysters, corn dogs, and a smash burger and curds. Now I will say this.
Okay.
The curds are fucking lights out. They're the real deal. They're not overbreaded. It's the proper amount of breading. It's almost like a tempura style.
Oh.
They put some hot honey on them, but they were really good. Okay. These curds, and the smash burger was fresh, and it was delicious. I have, you know, am I a smash burger purist because I'm observing the green peppers and diced onions on the burger versus the julienne thinner onions?
Okay.
Maybe. But it was still good. Little weird toppings, still good. Those things were lights out. I can't speak to, because I went solo. I can't speak to the other stuff because I only tried, you know, just me when I was food. I'm like,
right, okay. And then is the kitchen, like the place isn't very big. Are you just like ordering it? Like, are they going to have like a number on your table? Yeah, do they yell it out?
QR code. QR code,
okay.
And then there's a number. Your seat has a number. So you QR code, they know where you are because your affiliated number, okay. And they just run it out to you. Now, there is slightly more room because I think they expanded past the wall. So there's like almost another tiny room full of seats and garage windows and extended patio seating.
Okay.
So there is more room.
There's more room now.
Yeah, okay. It feels less loungy. Because you got the windows to the, I guess that would be to the south, and now you have windows facing like west because of the patio.
Yeah.
So there's a ton of light in this place. It's actually really cool. It's actually a cool place to drink.
Nice. Okay. You know?
And then when they get busy and do the full-on party thing, it's at the end of the block, so the alley gets cut off, and now you're basically, like, we were there for something.
Right, for Oktoberfest.
We were there for Oktoberfest, and it's a full-on fucking block.
Everyone's just hanging out in the street.
It's pretty great. Yeah. I love Maplewood, so. I don't know about these oysters, but I haven't tried them. To be fair, I haven't tried them, so.
Okay. All right. Nice. Okay, so that's now open. Now they got food.
Silver Surfer was the IPA I got from them. Double IPA, by the way.
That's kind of, you know, Vinia or the extra Vinia.
Diversity House.
Diversity House is right there. They were basically your food beer option. But now, why are you going to Diversity House, right?
Yeah, unless you just want to do the 1-2-step. Diversity House is probably doing events, if you're into events, like, you know, different kind of DJs and different kind of food nights and that kind of stuff. Diversity House has a rooftop patio, so it's slightly different. But yeah, it's nice that because it's weird to say this, but that's kind of is desert the wrong word? It's a really unusual section of diversity. Like there's not a lot going on.
Yeah,
you
know, it's just
that you can walk to.
Weird because you have the theater. You used to have Fat Willy's. You can now have like Jokers or something. Or
yeah, oh yeah, all that stuff right there on Western.
So you have stuff around there, but yeah. That diversity part is weird. Cool. And then Lake Effect opened, and you went.
Grand opening. So Northwest Cider, myself, Lake Effect is walking distance from the house.
Okay.
So I skedaddled on down to Lake Effect to check out the digs on Milwaukee. I think their initial plans were to go to Jefferson Park and open up in some...
firehouse.
A firehouse that was going to be like a restaurant, but I think a developer swept in and turned that into condos.
And this is, what, 3 years now since he got kicked out of the rental space he was in?
It was the space behind the... was it a costume? It was a costume shop.
Yeah.
It was a costume shop. Yeah. It was space behind a costume shop, which I don't think it had the licensing to like actually serve people.
Right.
Like you could get a taste, but you couldn't like get a full on glass of beer.
Was that 3 years ago or is that like during COVID?
It was at least 2 years ago. Because I think they took 2 years to build this space up.
But I think it was before that. I think COVID happened, and then they were like, okay, the costume place is moving or expanding, right?
And then they left.
So.
But they were probably always planning to leave because, you know, there's no signage really from the street level. There's no real parking at that space. And then you have to drive down an alley to get to it. It just wasn't, the silhouette value wasn't there at all, right? Whoops. So I think since for 3 years now, they've been trying to probably get out of there.
Yeah. And so they've been working on this for 2 years. We said, I think on one episode, this was a perfect time for them to like kind of rebrand and call themselves something new. Right. I think we said this at one point, be not Lake Effect when you come out, but be, I don't know, Green Frog Brewery.
Oh, just a refresh.
A refresh.
Like a total refresh.
I think more people would be excited than, Lake Effect.
Yeah, like, who's the, like, I mean, now, I think bars on the Northwest Side are going to gravitate to Lake Effect, mainly because that's their stomping ground, right? Mm-hmm. I think they got a collab with, like, this, there's some kind of Irish, I don't know, like, cultural center or something, like, not too far from there. Copernicus Center, I think it's called. I think they have a foothold in local Northwest Side bars.
Okay.
But to your point, like outside of that, is it a name that people are A, familiar with, or B, just kind of like getting jazzed about seeing them at their local bar, right? I think that's what you're getting at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Lake Effect, I expect you to be by the lake, just like Printer's Row. Why are you in Jefferson Park?
Well, I blame, you could blame Goose Island for this, or 18th Street. Neither one of those are in those places. I blame both of them, but to blame them for that.
But so anyway, how was the, they're open. You can now finally go after Lake Effect has been around for 15 years.
Yeah, seriously.
You can finally go and buy a beer.
You can go from buy, them. You can go buy beer and sit at their bar. Yeah.
This has got to be one of the most ridiculous beer stories, right?
Oh, after 15 years, we finally have our own space?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because what's the closest thing to that? Like Peace has never packaged.
Never packaged. So that's ridiculous.
That's a very ridiculous idea. Instead of packaging, they open a bagel shop. And who the fuck's eating Bro Bagels? I don't know.
Right.
It's kind of similar. Like, if you're eating Bro Bagels if you live in Wicker Park, but that's it. These are ridiculous. That is very ridiculous. So now, you'll see we're going a little silent. So those have to be the top two most ridiculous stories in local beer. You know, Lake Effect, 15 years after opening, has a place you can drink. And the most awarded brewery Chicago's ever known
has never packaged.
Never.
Beer.
And when they had a chance to package, they decided, fuck that, let's make some bagels.
But you can now finally go buy this beer that you may or may not have had in the last 15 years.
Yeah, I do like that. Well, they're still on the same section of town that they know.
Okay.
So that's probably a good thing. On my visit, I had the Avondale. I think it's called the Avondale. You know, like an ale.
Pale, yeah.
Yeah, it was like a pale ale. Good high finish on the pale ale. And then I had whatever the Hefeweizen is. I'm drawing a blank on the Hef.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, we start with the space. The space is gorgeous. I mean, I think it's an old mechanic shop. I mean, you walk in, it's your standard tiny bar set up with maybe like six tables. But then the real jewel of the place is this kind of open air patio space that kind of leads to the back. Right, so like I would say maybe 3/4 of the space is like a patio with like, you know, just kind of classic outdoor concrete, maybe 6-foot no see-through wooden fence.
Okay.
But then there's like a quarter of the section that's just kind of open air where the it's almost like a garage doors that kind of keep you covered. And then there's little barrels right there.
Oh, so, cool.
And there's a ton of seating. Like, there's couches, you know, there's barrels, there's tables with umbrellas. So I think they did a really good job on the outdoor space. And then the fact that it's all open, you know, it kind of feels like it's got a really good feel.
Oh, that's cool.
The space feels really good. Yeah.
Okay. Neat. All right, maybe it's, you know, it's not too far from me, so maybe I'll check it out at some point in the next 15 years.
I think they do have Pilsner Urquell on draft, and they have, I think, Aris on draft, and they have Pipeworks on draft.
Okay. Yeah,
in case you're not interested in, like, multiple rounds of, like, whatever Maplewood's pouring. I'm sorry, whatever Lake Effect's pouring.
I think that's smart. We've seen that with now was has that. I've been to, you know, Goldfinger. You know, they also have was stuff, and other places are realizing, hey, we don't do this. We should have someone else's. Metropolitan, why didn't you do that?
Oh, there were no guest drafts at Metro?
Yeah.
Huh. I wonder if Good Time's going to have guest drafts. Metropolitan East, as the kids are calling it.
Oh, is that what they're saying? No, so, I think you're just seeing that more, like, talk about Peace has always had guest drafts on.
Well, I mean, definitely recently, definitely the last few years.
But they always did, even back in the day. Okay. So I think that's a smart move, because if you're like, and I only want one table beer to guard, or
no table beer, no beer to guard.
Yeah, or it's a Saison.
You get the Saison, then you get the table beer. Then you're like, oh, what am I getting now?
And I'm in the
you can get another, you can get a different table beer with some hops, different hops, you know. One last note about Lake Effect. There's a bodega across the street called Chicago Pickle with an insane menu. It's a deli, but then they also do all kind of bodega sandwiches, hot sandwiches, and you can order and they'll walk it over to Lake Effect for you. So that's a nice touch.
Nice.
So North Milwaukee is coming together a little slowly. There's a coffee shop, there's a bodega, there's a brewery, and this is all like super north on Milwaukee, north from my standards. Like near Belmont in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Basically.
So, okay.
Yeah. Because prior to those three companies that I just named, the only thing on the intersection was like, you know, fucking Dunkin' Donuts, Baskin Robbins, Burger King, gas station. You know what I mean? Like your kind of standard bullshit.
Right.
So there's a little more personality now, which is nice.
That's good. Yeah. That's good to see for the neighborhood. Cool. What else in the city have you been hitting up?
Man, let's see, Maplewood, Lake Effect. Oh, cheers to the good folks at Goose Island. I was at Goose Island yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah. A rare summer check-in at Goose. Goose never says, hey, come hang out in the summer.
Yeah.
You know? So, I went, they were doing something called the, Riverbird West Coast IPA. So it's a collaboration with, a nonprofit called the Friends of the Chicago River and Calumet River.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's like a eco-friendly, you know, keep the river clean play. Okay. And I think proceeds from this beer go to the nonprofit, basically.
Cool. Okay.
Oh, but they wanted to talk about it because they said, yeah, we're not using our house yeast for this. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, yeah, like all our other ales have like basically the goose yeast, you know, BCS or, you know, Honkers or, you know, whatever, Sophie. All that yeast. This is using ale yeast from St. Louis. So
interesting.
They're using so it's a lot cleaner. It allows you to taste the hops a lot more than the goose yeast. Because the goose yeast has like these according to them, I hadn't really thought about it. It imparts fruitier esters than this ale yeast they're using.
Oh, okay.
So they want to establish, it's a bone dry IPA that focuses on hops, but it's not like 100 IBUs, like the old school Green Flash or Stone. This is kind of like their interpretation of it. So it was interesting, man. It's like 6.5%. I think it's in like 150 accounts already. And I just wanted to talk about that. And then, you know, since we're at Goose, I would talk about what else is going on.
Yeah.
You know, so that this is, you know, I mean, Goose is our, we say this all the time, you know, in other towns, the oldest brewery in town is probably A, not relevant, or B, just doesn't exist at all.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a contingent of people that still get jazzed about some things that happened at Goose.
Right. Like so that's pretty cool. No one in Oregon area is caring what Rogue is doing.
Or whoever made Cake the Great. That's always my example. Portsmouth.
Portsmouth, yeah.
No one cares about that, right? I don't even think it's still around, you know? Yeah, so.
I don't know. I think I went, what, 10 years ago?
See?
Right. It's in like a... It's in a tiny town. It's a rock bottom kind of restaurant.
Yeah.
No one cared. No one cared then. I don't think anyone cared then. It just was hard to get, and one got famous, right?
Yeah. So Goose is still kicking. 36 plus years in.
Nice.
We talked about. I'm like, what is the capacity here? Because they always wrap it up into AB numbers. The Brewers Association does. And he's like, well, we have 200 barrel fermenters.
Oh.
And I was like, well, how many you got? He was like, we got 19 of them.
Shit.
That's what I said. And then, because I'm like, is it a 30 barrel brew house? He's like, 50 barrel brew house.
Okay.
Because the only thing I know for sure is the outdoor fermenters.
Yeah.
You know, because they're branded and they're massive. But he's like, yeah, we don't really ferment in those unless it's BCS. Because, you know, there was a hazard thing because you had to, you know, put on a safety vest and climb all the way 400 feet up to these fermenters, you know.
Oh, so they just have them for show?
No, but they do use them because you can load them at the bottom.
Oh.
But they really just use them for the tankers that are storing BCS.
Oh, okay.
That's all. Because BCS is a brew. I think BCS is the most labor-intensive beer, well, obviously, but then I think it's the beer they're brewing the most there.
Yeah.
Because summertime is back, but that's brewed at AB. So is two of the Hugs. I forget which ones. I think the hazy one's brewed here, but the tropical and the whatever the other...
regular?
The biggest one. The two of the three are brewed off-site. Okay. So the beers they're brewing the most are one of the Hugs and BCS.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's like... He's like, dude, you'd be surprised how many people are pounding 9% double IPA in like a 19.2 can.
No, it's like the last time someone mentioned it, it's like one of the best selling, like in that format, in that category, it outsells everything.
Yeah. He said, I'm like, what's the big dog here? He's like, what do you mean? He's like, BCS is the most work. I'm like, no, what's selling the most? He's like, oh, it's Beer Hugs and it's not even close.
Right.
Beer Hugs is killing it. But they worked. That was their goal. This was positioned to do this. That was
plan. And then my thought is, I don't even run with the people that are like doing that.
It's in the same play. It's like modern.
I'm like, oh yeah, I got this 12-ounce can.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Nice. Don't get me wrong. I like if I'm at the bar, give me a 7.5%. Give me an 8% IPA. You know. But if I'm at the function, I'm sure I might have one. You know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. Man.
I'm not gonna lie. I might have two or three, but. You know. I'm not going to pound them out the can. That's more like people are looking to get hammered quick. That's like a 7-Eleven play.
Yeah.
Oh, side note. You know what they said? There's this trend amongst kids that their White Claw is starting to make a version of their claw that's more of a still version with less carbonation in it.
Oh, so it, like a...
The kids hate carbonation.
Like so, the death, right?
Is that...
Because it's just water. So it's not... It's flat, but just flat water.
It's flat water? Oh, it's not even carbonated?
There's a sparkling one, but the original one is just flat water.
It's flat water. These kids, they drink beer, but they make sure they open it slowly and get all the carbonation out because, you know, they don't want to lose their girlish figure, but they don't mind drinking the beer. But that's the only way they'll drink it is if there's no carbs.
What?
There's no carbonation in it. They want to get rid of carbonation. So they shake it really fast, open it slow, and then let all the carbonation come out.
What's the point of
because that? They want a still beverage. They don't want to drink carbonation. They don't want to feel as full. So letting all carbonation out.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm clearly too old to understand this concept.
I'm still not getting it here.
I mean, yeah. So, you know, you drink, the argument on a 4% beer, if you're like, if you're young or if you're like of the nightclub culture or the cocktail culture is, well, why am I drinking three of these 4% beers? I'm just going to feel bloated and have to piss all night.
Right.
Right. And then there's no real value as far as like, you know, feeling great, having a proper buzz off of 4% beer.
Okay.
Right. So to avoid that, what they're doing is, hey, I don't want to be bloated. So my thought is, as a kid, my thought is, why don't I shake this beer up, let all the carbonation out, and now it's flat. so I can drink more of them and not feel as full.
But you're still having to drink more of them than you would just a Red Bull and vodka kind of thing.
Yes. So what you do is you do a flat beer and then you do a couple shots. That's their thing. That's their thing. This is just bar chatter at Goose. Huh. Yeah. They're like, that causes... And then I think somebody chimed in and said, yeah, we should think about how to play in that space. But then the guys who are making the beer are like, yeah, that doesn't work because the beer needs to be carbonated. So when it, you know, we give it a blast of carbonation before we seal it.
Right, because otherwise something's going to happen with the like, you'd have to pasteurize it in there because it's not, this isn't necessarily alive, but like it's doing stuff. Like,
Is essential to the packaging process.
Right.
So if you're a company that's got 200 barrel fermenters, you can't be fucking with the carbonation. But it's a conversation that this is happening.
Then you're going to have a beer on the shelf that's like, here's slow melt, here's flat slow melt. And someone else is going to pick that up and be like, this beer was flat.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
I mean, I was at Lake Effect. We were talking about this in the pre-show, and I'm drinking the Hefeweizen. And I'm like, oh, this must be for the kids because I don't get a carbonation. Oh,
there's a bad beer engine, right? Just drink beer engine beer, kids.
I mean, I was a little, I get a little frustrated real quick nowadays.
Ugh.
Oh, but that's a side rambling.
Man, so speaking of things you don't like, you went to Crust Brewing.
I did go to Crust Brewing. This is Crust Brewing's city location. It's their second location.
I've been. A lot of TVs, huh?
Brad, it's a great looking space. Now, we knew something was up because it used to be Leader's Bar, but they didn't take the Leader's Bar sign down. So they put the Crust Brewing sign up. So now it says Crust Brewing and Leader's Brewing, two different hanging signs.
Yeah.
What the fuck? All right, so we're like, the fix is in at this point. Something's wrong here. I'm like, let me get the margarita pizza. You know, they give you the margarita, you know, and then they... Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not a pizza connoisseur, but I don't think you're supposed to shred the fucking basil. I think in general, you don't shred basil on pizzas, and you don't make margarita pizzas and put them in squares. You know, so the margarita, the basil shredded, the pizzas in squares, and I'm just like, listen, man, am I at a bowling alley? What the fuck's going on here? I'm a little. I mean, now it's fresh.
Yeah, that sounds
It's a fresh bowling alley.
That sounds like you basically had a cheese Jack's pizza, and you're like, I can make this a margarita. I got a thing of basil. Let's go. Okay.
So I'm like, man, I thought you guys were a pizza company. I mean, I don't know. I was just annoyed with the whole setup.
Right. That's all. Crust is fine.
Yeah.
But you have Easy Street, which is probably better.
Yeah, it's like a block away.
Right. Yeah. It's not. Crust also has different kinds of pizzas they have. Tavern kind of pizza. They have some deep dish pizza. They have like focaccia bread pizzas.
They call it a deep dish, but I'm like, focaccia bread? That sounds like a Detroit style. They should just call it that.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of confused. But
I did see something. It was funny on, I think it might have been the Chicago Reddit. May have found it. Someone was like, oh, I haven't been to Chicago. I've been away for like 10 or 15 years. What do I need to know about my neighborhood? And they're like, well, we now call thin crust tavern style. So it's like, right? Oh, yeah, that's hilarious. It wasn't called tavern style.
No.
10, 15 years ago.
That's fair.
It was just thin crust.
That's fair. Yeah. Is it a deep dish or thin crust?
Yeah. And now they're like, we call it tavern style.
It's tavern style, bro. No, that's actually a good observation because it's true. Yeah.
Oh, damn.
I got the, where did I get the drink? Oh, I got the hazy and then the dark lager.
Okay.
Dark lager wasn't bad. Nice. Wasn't bad at all. All
right. Well, I'll turn the air back on in here. It's getting a little warm.
Yeah. But, I mean, room for improvement, man. The place is great. This is a gorgeous space.
That's a fun space.
Proper outside, TVs and shit all on the inside, dark wood everywhere, spacious.
Yeah.
Great space. I wonder what happened to Leaders. Why'd they close? They probably just tired.
I don't know. Maybe it was too much of a sports bar. Now I see kids and families at Crust, and they weren't going to Leader Bar, right?
I don't know, man. Is it? I don't feel like I'm being grumpy, you know? But I'm like, if you're a pizza company, You know, make the fucking pizza. You know, give us proper pizza, man. I don't know.
They're doing the best they can, Nick. That's their best. And that's what they came out with. That's their best. That's what they're doing.
Yeah. It was fresh. I'll give them that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I went out to the burbs a couple times.
Right on.
One weekend was Bubble House.
Mm.
Right there next to Bavarian Lodge.
Over in Lissel.
Right.
The award-winning Bubble House.
Yeah.
Cheers to those guys.
Such a, like, just inviting space in there. Like, it feels, I don't know, welcoming and just, you feel good being in there.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people in there. It was like a Sunday afternoon. Some people are bringing in your own food. I had Jimmy John's delivered kind of thing.
Freaky fast. Did you get the turkey tom?
I think I got Italian.
Oh, man.
Beers were tasty. Had a couple of beers I don't even remember now. I tried to use the pizza phone.
Oh, yeah, because we talked about this when we had the guy on the show. They were doing a pizza phone.
It didn't open until 3 o'clock. Mother the pizza phone.
Fucker.
So I couldn't use it. I think Goldfinger has a pizza phone too.
Okay.
So it's now like it's a thing out
I'm
there.
I'm here for it because you're out yonder, right? And you're pounding these beers and there needs to be snacks.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't work without snacks.
No.
So they should all get a fucking pizza phone.
Yeah. But Bubba's beers they're great beers. They're just, I feel like they're beers you don't remember, but they are good beers. Like, I forget the names of them, but I'm happy when I'm drinking them. There's never one that disappoints, but they're not like, oh my God, I have to like take this home and drink it.
Yeah.
But they're always like enjoyable.
I will give you credit for Bubble House and, what's that crew like way the fuck out?
Fox Republic? Or
no, not Fox Republic.
Sturdy Shelter?
Sturdy Shelter. Sturdy Shelter and Bubble House are crews you mentioned. And then we went out there and I'm like, man, these guys are doing good work.
Yeah.
They should buy Crust Brewery.
There you go. Oh, they did? Where was I at? Oh, that was the next place. Then I went to Skeleton Key.
Right on.
Last weekend.
Bolingbrook?
Yeah, and they had the tornado, right?
Right, and they have the gold line in the bricks in the main tap room is where the tornado hit. They that's where they rebuilt. They drew a giant gold line to
this space is like so nice.
It looks good in that joint.
Artwork is great on the wall. It might be Jay Ryan. It might be someone else. I forget. No, it's not Jay Ryan. Someone else. Famous person, you recognize his artwork, you've seen it around before. The space, it's just such a nice space. And like, we were there with family and stuff, so we were able to sit like not in the bar because you can't be anyone who's 21 isn't supposed to sit at the bar.
There's multiple rooms, too.
Yeah, so we sat in the other room with like big tables, and it was just like, I don't know, easy to hang out in.
That's a good space.
Yeah,
they say that they teach, they teach College of DuPage classes, the folks who run Skeleton Key.
Okay.
Yeah. They're really into, like, good beer and then really just having things that bring people to them.
Yeah. And then they have an event space also, like, on the other side of the bathrooms that was being used for, like, a baby shower or birthday party.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Vicky from Buckle Down. She got married at fucking Skeleton Key. Yeah. Like, a week ago.
Yeah. And then when you go into the bar part, the brewery is like all open, so you can kind of see what's happening. It was Sunday, so not much was happening, but it's nice. I want to say like a pale ale first, and then the second beer I got was a collaboration with Flipside.
Nice.
And so, yeah, that was also fantastic. They don't really have food. They have a charcuterie board, but it's a picnic basket. They give you like a little picnic basket of like
with the cheese and bread and stuff.
Yeah, but it's like all like single package, like, oh, a package of almonds, and here's some fruit snacks, and some cheese, and stuff like that. So that's kind of fun if you need, like, a little bite.
Woodridge.
Yeah.
Okay.
Woodridge,
I said Bolingbrook, Got to get my Western Suburb right, man.
So that space is great, but then we did need food, so we went over to the Whiskey Hill Kitchen.
Oh yeah, this is the newest one, right?
Yeah.
Not the ice rink that's upstairs from some weird.
No, but the Whiskey Hill Kitchen, that food is great.
Really?
The beer, it's not great. It's good food.
I want to go.
I want to say it like it's great, I wanna go. But it's good food. The space is really nice.
So, wait, so they're in Mount Prospect, and then they're in this one, which is next to Icon Oak, which is also Woodridge.
Yeah, right over there. Yeah.
Okay.
Because I think we were like, oh, do we want to go to Icon Oak or Whiskey Hill? And I was like, well, Whiskey Hill's. Icon Oak's easy to park at, but Whiskey Hill's really easy because you got the train right there. So there's tons of parking. You can either park on the street or where you would park to get on the train. So we just did that. And then it's easy to get home because it's kind of like right off the expressway.
A little 1-2 step, a little 290.
Yeah.
There you go.
I think it took 55 to Skeleton Key just because they're like farther. I don't know, farther was that? West or east?
It's west as hell and south as hell. I mean, because I was at, I was in Downers Grove for something and I was like trying to get back up here and I was like, dude, I'm on like 75th Street.
Yeah.
Like I'm pretty far. And when you're in Downers Grove and you're pretty far south.
Right.
And we never, no one ever discusses how far south we are. And I'm like, this is funny because if I went straight east, I'd be literally on 75th Street.
Right.
Yeah. So. West burbs can often be like southwest burbs, and they just call them the west burbs.
Yeah, that one. Just, yeah, I think of the West Downers Grove, Bolingbrook, Lyle. Just they're part of the west burbs.
Right. We all call them west burbs.
No, where would I start south burbs? Like
I don't know, New Lenox.
Yeah, definitely. I think Plainfield.
Joliet.
No, Joliet's a south burb.
Yeah.
Southwest burb.
It's deep south. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, as it relates to the city, now we're getting into like city politics. Well, city geography.
I think definitely on the other side of 55, right? Those would be southwest. And so then on the Downers Grove side is the west burb still.
That's fair. I like that. That's a good call.
Yeah.
I like that.
You got to use like things to...
That we all can relate to.
Yeah.
They're like, 12th Street is once you get to Roosevelt yourself. No. Okay. I like it. Okay.
We'll keep it simple. Bubble House, Skeleton Key, Whiskey Hill... I'm out there living the suburb life,
man,
I guess.
You know, sometimes, especially with all the construction, man, sometimes escaping Occupy Chicago is not the worst thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, speaking of that, man, because it's been a while since we hung out, man. I went to Foreign Exchange out in Aurora.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man. So
downtown Aurora.
Cheers to them, man. It's not the basement. It's on the first floor of an apartment complex.
Okay.
Which is it's a very cool space. They have a patio, and then they have so many collabs and so many. They have like a cellar program of all Berlay stuff and Saison collabs and sours, and that's a really fun stop. They got their own kitchen. Cool. I was super excited for them. I like that we've had. Foreign Exchange on the show. We've had
Bubble House
on the show.
Yeah,
I do enjoy that. We should get more guests.
Yeah, I know we haven't had anyone in a long time.
Yeah, but it's nice. It's nice because you know, Chicago. I mean, there's a lot going on just in the city. You don't have to leave the city, but then the two of us have these suburban sensibilities where we don't really care about leaving the city. We'll go wherever the fucking beer is.
Yeah,
and when you consider Chicago land, there's so many more breweries in the suburbs.
Right.
And that people need to know about. So, I'm kind of cool. It's cool that we've had those people on the show, and we should continue to do that kind of shit.
Or there's something like Church Street that you went to that doesn't necessarily feel like a suburb. That just feels like almost like an extension of, like, industrial parkland that's, like, right by O'Hare that, like, no one lives. But...
It's funny because it's true. It's so true. I'm like... I get off like I'm going to O'Hare, and then I pass all the like FedEx planes,
Amazon shipping facilities, light bulb depot.
You end up in Itasca, Illinois, and I'm like, I've been to a cremation spot over here once. What is this?
And yeah, there's places that you don't want to go to, but they are like, if you need something, you're in Itasca.
So you're in Itasca, and then you go to Church Street. Now, Church Street, from the beginning, always identified themselves as a contract brewer.
Okay. Yeah.
So they have like, you know, like a handful of clients, probably like 10 or a dozen, let's say a dozen clients. So they're brewing other people's stuff and have a massive space. It's a ridiculous space, like 30 barrel system, like this giant space, giant tap room and a kitchen. And then they have this really big, outdoor space in the back with a giant vinyl banner that takes up the whole side of the building. And yeah, they go crazy out there. Kids, gazebos, yeah, Adirondack chairs.
It's no laws in there.
You just watch the planes go overhead. It feels like you're somewhere else, man. It's a weird scene, man.
Yeah. It does feel like when you drive there, you're like having to like circle around, and you're just like, I guess this is it. And
because it's in a yeah, it's in a
like industrial park.
Yeah, it's off the side street, and you it's like, and it's almost like an industrial park, an industrial neighborhood almost.
Right.
You know, kind of like
like Floyd, microphone.
Yeah, like you make a you make this left and this right, and this the entire subdivision is all industrial stuff.
Right.
That's exactly Microphone and Church Street are the exact same like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Hefeweizen's, Lagers. I was ripping shots of like New Riff.
Oh
yeah. It's a good hang.
Nice.
It's a good hang if you just want to sit outside and you've never been to it. And then they do live music. So there's you know the one man band dude on an acoustic guitar, but it's plugged into the speakers, and you know. Oh. He's jamming out, you know. There's kids. There's every walk of life is in this joint. You know, the weird Mexican dude with a giant mustache and like roses all over his button up. You know, and then the fucking you know the zombie suburban mom with her old man and
the goth kids in the corner.
Goth everything in between.
Flat beer.
Everything, every walk of life is in this place. It's you know it's a scene.
That's cool. All right, so. We did have some Bourbon County stuff to talk about, but I think we save that for next time.
Okay.
Otherwise, we're going to go long here.
Yeah, I like that you're cutting us off.
So.
We need to hit that 30, Brad.
We got to get out of here. We had a lot to catch up on.
Yeah, man.
Anything else? Or any other stops?
Man.
That was it.
I think that's it. Oh, we did have some news, man. Elmhurst Brewing is closing.
Oh, okay.
Second City Meadery, which is on the northwest side off Elston. It's also closing the last day of business is Saturday.
Oh.
Yeah.
Never went, and I'm so close.
I went once. It was really fucking sweet mead.
I don't want mead.
But both of those spots are closing, but some Elmhurst is for sure selling to someone, another brewery. Okay. I wonder who that is.
Good times.
I was hoping it would be. No, that's too far west for me. So good luck with whoever you sell to.
There's going to be another more.
Right?
In two mores in Elmhurst.
They need to quit behind spaces.
All right. That's going to do it. See you next time. Take care.
Cheers.